Thank you. Let me ask Micah Hanks a question here. Micah, we're talking a little bit about the conspiratorial here, and I wanted to get your opinion. And I know you're coming from, this magic and mysticism, this whole other side. But I know that you just wrote a new book. You're penning a new book right now called The UFO Singularity. Is that the title?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, first of all, kudos on the title. What one hell of a name for a title. That's a good, it leaves the door open to a lot of cool stuff to discuss. But we're talking about UFOs. We're talking about the possibility of, government intervention and, the possibility of these false flag events. But something that's really occurring across the globe right now is we're seeing this exponential rise in the number of diseases and viruses and antibacterial resistant types of medical whatever. Anyway, I got a question for you. SARS. Many people believe that SARS was introduced as a weapon to depopulate the Earth. Now, I'm not necessarily asking you to focus on SARS in particular, but do you feel, based on some of the work that you've done over the years, and I know that you've covered quite a bit, do you feel that there is a legitimate effort to depopulate the Earth, possibly to some Illuminati organization, or as David Icke calls them, these reptilians, or this New World Order structure, depopulating the Earth? Do you think it's real?
Short answer, no. Severe acute respiratory syndrome is caused by what's known as the coronavirus. We have to be very careful because although I think that there are measures that could be used in population control, perhaps SARS is one of them, there's not a lot of evidence that directly correlates that with, broad-reaching, subversive organizations or operations meant to...
What about AIDS? Do you feel AIDS was manufactured, or do you think AIDS is a natural occurrence?
I think that it's both in a sense. AIDS obviously is something that, probably resulted from humans trying to study the way that certain simian viruses, affected various primates. And then, of course, as a result of that, it's quite complex, and we couldn't really probably get into all of it right now. But the bottom line is that I think that indeed it's something that occurred naturally, but kind of as a byproduct of human interest in studying viruses and the spread of contagious diseases. Now, that said, we also may overcome those kinds of things in the coming years. At this point, HIV is already primarily a manageable disease. There are, although they are not affordable yet, there are treatments that have been shown to be effective in actually curing viruses like that. But by the same token, let's look at something that really is actually a manufactured, synthesized virus that could be very dangerous. I don't know if SARS or HIV would qualify, but the H5N1 device, a genetically synthesized version of the super flu that we've seen manifest at various times over the years, flu, bird flu, all this kind of stuff, something along those lines, that truly was created in a laboratory, and that really, I think, is a potential tremendous threat. And the reason why that's so threatening is because something synthesized like that in the laboratory has a natural immunity, I guess, to a lot of the known vaccines and treatments for that kind of a viral infection. So again, the thing is, and I'm no bacteriologist whatever it is that focuses on that kind of thing. But the truth of the matter is that I think that that is a much far more potentially dangerous disease, especially in terms of the potential for it to wipe people out. Now, is it intentionally designed for that purpose? No, I don't think so. Was it designed in a laboratory in such a way that indeed humans may have inadvertently caused death and destruction? Yes, that's certainly the case. I have to be very careful, and I think we all should, about committing to conspiracy theories. And for the record, this is just my opinion, but I'm going to put it out there. I haven't seen a lot of evidence for these kind of space battles and things that have been mentioned earlier in the discussion as well. That very well may be the case, but again, I like to try and lean on empirical data to back up those sorts of claims. That's just my two cents.
Got it. Okay, great. Thank you so much. So essentially, just to surmise, you're saying AIDS came from shagging monkeys. All right, let me get to my next question, which is for... No, I'm just playing with you, Micah. I don't know if you got that, but anyway, let me get to my next question, which is to my crypto guys, Lyle Blackburn and David Weatherly. A lot of people are talking about this interdimensional portals and the possibility of these beings coming through these portals, some people believing that these are interdimensional beings that represent many of what we believe to be either monsters and in some cases aliens. What is your opinion on that? Does the chupacabras, does Bigfoot, does the Falcon monster? David and Lyle, what do you guys feel about this interdimensional aspect?
Well, this is Lyle. You know, the chupacabra definitely has elements of alien in the descriptions, and, you know, it's odd because in that particular cryptid, it split into two sort of versions. You have the one that started in the 1990s in Puerto Rico, which is described in a lot of terms with alien features, you know, spikes and wings and, you know, much more outlandish type of creature that, you know, you wouldn't normally find in the forest. And then, you know, you have a version that they see in Texas, which is essentially what they call a blue dog, and that is a mangy sort of canine or coyote. So same thing for Bigfoot. I mean, you have people that do studies and correlations between UFO sightings and Bigfoot sightings to see if these correspond, and it seems like for every one of these creatures, mm-hmm. these theories exist, you know.
Mm-hmm. David Weatherly, are you still with us?
Yeah, I am, and I was just listening to what Lyle was saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many factors that we have to consider, too. I mean, if we go back to native cultures, there's a lot of legends about creatures that left this plane of existence, and in some terms, you know, they went through a shimmering doorway, or it's hard not having all the understanding of how they were interpreting what they experienced. I mean, these may be creatures that are living underground for all we know.
Sure.
And I'm not necessarily promoting a hollow earth theory or anything, but, you know, there may be, my God, they just found those massive caves in, I think it was Vietnam,
mm-hmm.
that virtually have a jungle growing in the cave. So I think there are a lot of possibilities for some of these creatures mm-hmm. that people are seeing. I mean, it could be some type of camouflage that some of these beings have that we don't completely understand yet. I mean, certainly a chameleon can blend in with its surroundings. Possibly a larger being like a Bigfoot or Sasquatch could have some type of camouflage that allows it to do it, and that would give credence to some of the reports that these things are able to just disappear.
And I wouldn't necessarily, you know, be too quick to disavow the Hollow Earth theory, and the reason why I say that is because when you mention these caves, like they just recently discovered in Vietnam, or hell, when you even look at the Carlsbad Caverns, or in Chihuahua, Mexico, where they discovered the giant crystal caves, there are parts of this planet which we just don't understand, that we're not aware of, and we will not be aware of for hundreds, if not thousands of years, you know, if we're still here as a species. I remember seeing a movie. God, I don't remember the name of the movie, but I think it was called The Core or something to that effect, where they were drilling through the earth using this drilling device, and they happened upon this massive, you know, cavernous area where it was littered with diamonds, and everyone was like, "Oh, that's such bullshit." The next thing you know, several years later, northern Mexico, Chihuahua, Mexico, these scientists discover what? They discover this massive, you know, half-million-year-old cave with these gigantic formations of these gypsum crystals, which are just amazing, something that they thought was not possible. They found them there. They emptied, the cave of all of its water. It was filled with water. That's how these crystals have formed over, you know, a half-million years' time. And what does that do for us? You know, it makes you wonder, you know, are there parts of this planet that we're not aware of? So, you know, again, disavowing the whole Hollow Earth theory too quickly, I think, is something that, you know, we shouldn't do. But again, you know, staying on topic with the crypto guys here, I wanted to ask you about the recent levels of sightings of chupacabras, and we seem to have narrowed it down to being this possible hybrid species, Lyle and David, of like a wolf with a coyote or something to that effect, and where it has succumbed to mange and it's possibly even morphed into this whole brand new species of its own. What do you guys think about the chupacabra phenomena? What can you tell us about that?
Well, there are two very distinct types of chupacabra. The first one that was actually reported was very different. It looked alien. It was bipedal. It had very large eyes, and some of the reports it had a long tail with spikes on the back. The more recent reports that have been pretty widespread, especially in Texas, and Lyle can talk about this, I'm sure, is the creature that he was referring to that appears to be some kind of a hybrid being. Mm-hmm. Now, what's curious is several months ago, I actually received a report of the original type of chupacabra being sighted in Louisiana. And it was very interesting report. I haven't followed up on it more, but I definitely would like to learn more about that. But Lyle can talk about the Texas chupacabras.
Well, I think it's definitely a case where pop culture has made everybody aware of the chupacabra. And when they started seeing these mangy coyotes down here, the media just basically attached the term chupacabra. So it's an odd circumstance where you have a cryptid that was described in a kind of a completely different fashion and was seen in a different area, Puerto Rico, in the Latin countries, that was, you know, one type of creature, and then they just applied the term to the creature seen in Texas. So I think they're two distinct animals. You know, if the chupacabra exists, it's got to be looked at as two different things. So I call the Texas ones blue dogs, and that's kind of become the term in cryptozoology to identify the two, because if you just say chupacabra, what are we talking about, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. Wow, thank you guys for that very much. Go ahead.
This is Ed, and I was going to say, I think that a lot of the different craft that we see are coming in and out, taking stuff away, bringing stuff back, and I think that a lot of us and a lot of these creatures that are here on Earth has probably came from out in space and been brought here and placed here like a zoo or like a place of a habitat to where they can survive. And I think that Bigfoot might be a case of that. Who knows what the gorilla was back when or where it really came from. Is it Earth or space? And we just have so many things that are going on that we can't really close our mind to anything, because the minute you close your mind to something, it'll prove you wrong in a few months.
Well, and that underscores why we just have to keep searching and doing close case studies to, if we can get a body possibly or some better evidence, then these answers, we can answer these questions more specifically.
Thank you guys. Go ahead, Ed.
I'd like to give you a real quick one on something that happened to me in 71. My future father-in-law and I were deer hunting in the Sierras, and it had snowed, and we had dug a log back out of the way and then pulled it in behind us so we could go out in this other area that we knew was going to be great hunting. And when we parked the truck, I sent my father-in-law down one direction, and I went up another to push this big canyon and ridge down to him for deer. And as I was walking along with about 6 inches of snow on the ground, my hair started standing up, and I wasn't knowing why. And I looked over to the side, and there was great big tracks in the snow.
Wow.
That was three of my steps to one of theirs, and then a mountain lion was following it, a big cat track following it. And I thought at first that this thing was in trouble, getting stalked.
Yep.
And in turn, as I followed their tracks, I found that the Bigfoot would step on the cat's track sometime and smash it down. And sometimes the cat would step on its track and slough it down. So they weren't behind or in front. They were with each other. And that Bigfoot, we followed for 4.5 hours. I got my father-in-law, and we trailed it and followed it for 4.5 hours. And it knew we were there.
Mm-hmm.
And it would lead us up one way, and then it would take off quickly. It opened its stride up and go further away and then drop back down so it would watch us in the brush as we took a turn and went up and was following the tracks. And it was looking at us and studying us, and that went on for 4.5 hours.
Wow. So definitely you had some type of encounter. Thank you, Ed. Thank you very much for that. What I want to do, we only have about 2 minutes left here, so I want to wrap something up. I got a lot of questions on the reptilian subject, and I know that Scotty Roberts is going to be writing a book on reptilians, so I wanted to
get his opinion.
Yes, you are. You said you were writing a book on reptilians. So what I'd like to do is get you the last question here, and if any of you would like to chime in on that, please do. So Scotty, a lot of people believe that aliens are giving us a reptilian mind, not necessarily reptilians as how we were may have been thinking. Well, I'm talking about the reptilian mind. I'm not talking about 8-foot-tall, you know, scale-covered individuals with massive penises that are raping our women or whatever. I'm talking about aliens giving us a reptilian mind and potentially feeding off of our anxious thoughts, much like people in the paranormal field believe that there are these vampires that feed off of our thought energy. What do you think about all that?
That's very new agey to me. But I can't discount it right off the bat. I'm still in the midst of researching all of this. I will put it to you this way. The subtitle to my book is The Pervasive Presence of the Serpent in Human History, Religion, mm-hmm. and Alien Mythos. Right. So what I am looking at is how, if first of all, do these beings even really exist as literal reptilians from our past? I know we've got lots of information. You look at Sitchin, you got your answer. But there's all sorts of things through history, and since we've only got about 9 seconds left, I'll just say, ask me again in about 4 months.
Sure, we'll
have some more time to talk about it.
Okay, thank you. Well, listen, I know that there's a lot of archaeological digs that are turning up, like in Turkey, Göbekli Tepe, where they're finding, you know, reptilian, strange reptilian type creatures and some of the symbolism that is in the carvings and whatnot. And, you know, people like David Icke, you know, have pretty good data.
Don't get me started on David Icke. I don't want to slander or libel anybody here. I don't remember which it is when you're talking on air. But David Icke, just like Sitchin, may be onto something in some of his theories.
Sure.
He may not be totally off. But I will judge somebody's theories and somebody's activities by what they do with their character of life.
Yes.
And one thing that bothers me about David Icke's movement is it's neo-Nazism in different clothes. And he is an anti-Semite.
And I've heard that. I saw this documentary on David Icke and how they alluded to that he is pushing this agenda, this anti-Semitic agenda. I've not seen that symbolism, but maybe somebody like yourself who studied it more closer has. I want to look into that. I want to look into that there so that I can form an opinion. But I got to tell you this, Scotty. This reptilian subject matter, whether or not it's talking about the reptilian mind or physical reptilian beings being among us, whenever you throw out the word reptilian, you're going to just stir up the pot and people are going to want to get involved. So, wow, that's interesting. I can't wait for your book.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's going to be fun. Yeah.
All right, guys. So, but what I'd like to do is I'd like to thank Micah, Scotty, David, Lyle, Ed, and Jay for being with me tonight on the show. And most importantly, I want to thank Jerry Pippin, Roberta Scott, and Jane Swartley, along with Joe, the producer, for giving us this platform this evening, allowing us to tell everybody about SAC UFO Con. Again, this is the UFO Paranormal Summit. It's happening in Sacramento, California on June 16th and 17th. And all of the individuals that were on the show tonight, including many others, like Paola Leopizi Harris, Mel Fabregas, Carrie Cassidy, Paul Bradford from Ghost Hunters International, so many individuals. They're all going to be there. I'm excited to have them. Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, Bill Murphy is going to be there. And again, so is Michelle Menny and Norio Hayakawa. So make sure to join us in Northern California this June. It's going to be a fantastic conference. It's going to be a one-of-a-kind conference. Never before has anything like this ever been done. And I'm very proud of everybody who was on the show tonight. All of you performed stellar. You did an amazing job. Thank you so much for being with us. And we look forward to talking with you guys again. And, again, thank you, Jerry Pippen, for having us on the show tonight.